Wake up, Atlanta. The Bats did last night. Yeah, but they'll go back to sleep again. Don't worry. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy.
You literally just said you're not a pessimist.
I know.
You just said it 5 seconds ago.
Excuse me, sir. Wait for your moment to speak.
Yeah, mate. I mean, I had to.
Well, you just got pushed to the back of the line. She is the queen of tofu, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, the leader of Allie's Army, and the resident pessimist when it comes to some things in here. The ruiner of dreams, Miss Allie Mack. He is, we throw a little bit of vanilla Dylon in here from here and there. He's the worst waiver in the business, Mr. Dylan Matthews. And he's the interrupter of me, former Atlanta Falcon, All-American national champion for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Let's go.
Michael
Land Johnson. The plane. Land the plane.
Well, you know what? You made us circle the city because you just had to interrupt.
Land.
You're like a gust of wind when you're trying to land it. You know, got to take it back up and go around again.
He got there faster than I did because as soon as the mic opened up and you brought up the fact or the thought that the Braves bats will go back to sleep, it was not 10 seconds before we went on air. You were saying, you might think I'm a pessimist, but I'm not.
I'm not.
He said,
I'm a realist.
Despite popular belief, I'm not a pessimist. They'll go back to sleep. What?
Well, I mean, I'm just going by the sample size of almost 100 games, I think, that I have, that they sleep more than they wake. I mean, this is not, oh, we just woke a sleeping giant kind of moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish it was. It'd be nice. But it wasn't. Maybe, but I don't think so.
Did either of y'all get through all 9 innings last night?
No.
No.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Dude,
it's better to be honest than anything, and I was, like, I couldn't make it. I was exhausted.
I was, too. I had a day yesterday. Like, I, what did I do? Oh, yeah, I went and got my, shout out to my boy, DJ at Joe's Automotive. I called him on the way home. I was like, hey, man, I'm late on my emissions. I need all these things done, this checklist. And he's like, I got you. Come right now. He's like, where are you at? You just leave the studio? I go, yeah, he goes, come right now. I was in and out by 11, and I didn't leave here. I left, I got there like 10 o'clock. I was out in an hour. I got my emissions done. I had a golf, little mini golf lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Feel better than I felt in years by that. I had to go get pork chop. We had a meeting. Then we had our conference call. And I text Amy, like, I'm exhausted. You want to go get margaritas?
That's usually a good plan.
Yeah.
Got to rewind a little bit on that because your birthday was last month and you haven't done your emissions yet, tag has been expired.
I have done my emissions now and I do have my tag up to date now. But thank you for trying to out me there.
I have never had to do emissions.
That's because you have a diesel.
Yeah.
Well, your wife does.
And before that, I had a new truck, which there's like a period of time after you buy a new that you don't have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I bought a diesel.
I think it's 3 years, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I believe it's 3 years. But it is amazing to me how many people you will find in your life who are just driving around with an expired tag.
Oh, I know.
Like, wait, what?
Let me tell you something. And I'm not.
Tell me.
If you have an expired tag, you better not have one alcoholic drink at all and get in your car, because like the biggest DUI finders are expired tags and the license plate light being out. Like, that's like, oh, I'll pull you over. Oh, you had 3 drinks, get out of your car, sir.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I do that. I'm just saying that I used to watch a lot of Cops back in the day, like a lot of the TV show. And they'd be like, we have an expired tag, pull them over. And it would always find something.
I just know there are people that drive around with an expired tag and they just won't run into trouble because that's just their lot of luck. If it were me to have an expired tag for a day, I'll be pulled over that day.
Yeah, I got pulled over for expired tag. What was that? Do you remember me telling you the story? I told it on air. It was like less than a year ago. And the guy was like, I was like, oh, I'm sure that I must have just forgot to put the sticker on. He's like, no, I looked it up. He's like, you're a year out of date. I was like, oh no. So I didn't renew the year before.
Oh.
And then it had already passed another year. He was like, dude, yeah, he wrote me a ticket. He's like, you're gonna need to get a new license. I was like, okay, yeah, sorry about that, sir. I didn't realize.
Do you know an embarrassing fact about me is, I think it's embarrassing, is for the long, like, I would say for a good part, I'd probably say for a good 15 years after I got my driver's license, when they say license and registration, please,
mm-hmm.
I always thought that was the insurance. I was like, oh, here's my insurance card. It's like, registration.
Right.
It took me a little bit to actually realize that registration is literally what you get when you get your new sticker.
Mm-hmm.
That literally says registration.
Wow. You're probably like throwing it away. Like, I don't need this, just the backing of the sticker.
No, you know what's funny is my dad when I was young was like, just keep that in your glove box. Always keep this in your glove mm-hmm. box. And I never thought about it.
Right.
I was like, oh, it's just proof I have a tag, as if the freaking sticker wasn't enough.
Well, exactly. And in 2025, they can look that stuff up. But, Bo, like you mentioned, Braves did wake up last night. We are going to be talking about them throughout the show. 6:40, we've also got Throwback Thursday trivia. The theme is, hey, now you're an all-star.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see how that goes. But today, we've got another Falcons superlative to hand out. It's a pretty important role today, the quarterback, who is our toughest opponent in this category. And if you are looking for facts, not feelings, when it comes to the Falcons, Mike and Bo have you covered, because Mike blocked for him. Bo flies with him. And today, I do want to start kind of how we did the other day. Let's go through our opponents that we're going to be facing and knock out the ones that we're not as worried about. I'm not going to say not a problem altogether, because we know everyone's a problem, but who are you just not as worried about going into this season?
I think the easy way to not go ahead and knock two off is the teams that we've talked about that I don't know which one it's going to be. And
yeah, the Colts and maybe the Vikings.
Well, I was going to say the Saints.
Okay, that's a good one too.
Yeah, like I was sitting there going, when I'm writing multiple names down, it's the old Bobby Bowden. If you have two quarterbacks, you probably don't have one. So if I'm writing multiple names down going, well, it could be this guy. Like, okay, I don't feel as though that's a massive threat.
I just put Anthony Richardson down there because I don't think he'll be ready for camp. I think Daniel Jones wins the job out of camp. And by that point, I think Daniel Jones has probably maybe ran into enough trouble. So I put Richardson down. But I agree. You can knock the Colts off. You can knock the Saints off. I think you can knock off J.J. McCarthy. And here's why. Do we 100% know that he'll be the starter in week two? I think they're going to anoint him if possible, but is he healthy? There are questions. I don't know what to put there. And I know what you're going to say, but I was on Twitter and I went down a rabbit hole, the thread of Falcons fans arguing with Vikings fans. And it was really just
interesting.
It was really just one Viking fan who was like, thank God the Falcons saved us from Michael Penix Jr. And I was like, uh-oh, let me follow this. And I didn't have to say a word. Like, I didn't have to say a word because some dude laid into him with verbiage I will not use in daily life and in on the air, and was like, oh, you're the dumb dumb of the week award. He's like, really? How's J.J. McCarthy worked out for you so far? And they were just arguing, and then they went back and forth.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is interesting. But, I just don't know what J.J. McCarthy is, so it's hard for me to put him on the list. You know, I'm not going to give him a 29 like other knowers of ball would.
Yeah, was it Nick Shook?
His name's not worth me remembering.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather just call it out for what it is. Let's throw him out there. Give him a higher ranking than just about half the NFL quarterbacks that have actually thrown a snap is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I'm with you. I don't know what J.J. McCarthy is. And there's other unanswered questions up and down this. And I think you brought up a good point, though. When you look from top to bottom as a whole right now, I don't think the group that you're playing this year is as strong as last year's schedule when it comes to quarterbacks. Like you start naming them off, and you and I kind of went through it. I wrote them down. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Geno Smith. We didn't know at this point last year what Jaden Daniels was going to be, what Sam Darnold was going to be up with Minnesota. We didn't know what the future held for Derek Carr. We knew we were going to play Justin Fields in week one. Like, there's a lot of back and forth with that, but I would say last year's opponents' quarterbacks as a whole, probably a deeper group. Going into the season.
And I look at I know that it's easy to talk about Sam Darnold now, but I'd not worry. If he was back with the if he was in week two with the Vikings, I'd be more worried about facing him than later in the year on a Seahawks team that I'm not sure if can block for him, and I'm not sure what they are. I know that they have is it Jackson Smith Jigba? I think is Njigba, who kind of emerged late last year. But other than that, I'm not sure what they are offensively. And so he worries me less. I'm not overly worried about Justin Fields. I do look at his time last year, and he, in the few games he started, he was more accurate than he had been in his career, and his passes were on target more for, as far as accuracy. But he also didn't want to throw across the middle much, if at all, especially when he played us. So I'm not overly worried about facing a Jets team that is kind of in a rebuild later in the season.
Can I bring up the Falcon effect, though, that what scares me off of probably three or four of these is, like, they're guys on a national scale that I'm like, I don't worry about this quarterback until they're playing the Falcons, and he belongs in that category, as does Bryce Young.
I think that.
As does Kyler Murray. As does a number of guys up and down this list where I go, you know what? I'm not worried about this guy. And then I look at it and go, well, he's diced us up before.
Well,
and so maybe I should take that into consideration.
I look at Justin Fields. He's played three games against the Falcons, and most people, the Justin Fields group will be like, oh, he's 2-1. He was really bad in the game he played here in Atlanta, the first start in Atlanta with the Bears. Really bad. I mean, he hit his left guard in the head with the football. That's bad. He was really good in Chicago in 23. I mean, very good.
One of the best games I've seen him play.
I think that was probably the best pro game I have ever seen him play. And then with Pittsburgh here, he was okay.
He did just enough. He did exactly what Arthur Smith and company asked him to do, which was not turn the ball over and to keep the offense on the field.
Didn't throw one ball in the middle of the field.
No.
Not one pass. Didn't turn the ball over, though, that I remember in that game. And allowed the defense to win the game.
Okay, I'm having Netflix quarterback flashbacks right now of Kirk sitting on the sideline going, it's just a lot. There's a lot of motions. And then you're trying, you know, TJ's timing up the snap count. It's just a lot. And I was like, man, yeah, it was a lot to watch, man. It was a lot to watch as well. So, yeah, there you go. Thanks, Justin Fields, for that one. But again, there is a Falcon effect to when I'm looking at some of these guys going, I don't think this guy's going to get up this team to the playoffs. But he's diced up the Falcons defense before, and that still scares me.
It is a fun drinking game to take a drink every time Kirk Cousins says motions when you're watching quarterback. We're going to continue this conversation. We just handled a couple of the quarterbacks we aren't as worried about. What about the ones that could cause a few issues for us? We'll cover the Braves as well. That is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, myself, Allie Mack, and Dylan. Did everyone make it up to the office today without a spider jumping on their shoulder?
I did, but I was weary when I walked to it. Bo was holding the elevator for me, and I was like looking around as I walked up. I was like, nope, Charlotte, you're not going to get me today.
That's exactly what I did when I was walking in. I was like, okay, I'm watching before I just walk through there.
It's definitely spider season, too. Like, I took my kids out to the swing set at the house 2 days ago, and like the banana spiders, I guess they're called, they're like this big. Oof. They're black and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Man, all over the place. My kids are like, Daddy, look at that one. I'm like, oh, get away from that. Get away from that. Like one of those things where you walk with a long branch in front of you everywhere you go outside. Right now.
They definitely let you know you're alive. That's for sure. Well, I'm glad everyone made it unscathed. Before we get back into the quarterback conversation, Braves did win against the Athletics last night, 9-2. It was you get a homer and you get a homer night for the Braves. Ronald got two. Drake Baldwin got a 3-run homer. Austin Riley had a 2-run homer. Marcel got a solo. It was a record high for the season of 5 home runs for the Braves last night. Are we delighted? Are we back on board? How are we feeling about all this?
I mean, I don't see how you can't be delighted if you're a Braves fan to see that little taste of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it means for the long-term future. I think that ballpark plays into that aspect. I think, you know, Bryce Elder obviously having a 6-run cushion before he even has to get a fourth out, definitely helps. But it was nice to see for one night. It reminded you of what this team is capable of. And, you know, you just wonder if you could get through a Spencer Strider start tonight, if you could, in fact, win the series, which would be a delight. I don't know at this point what a realistic goal is, I guess, for the Braves, because I think we all kind of came to the terms that, you know, that ship has sailed on the playoffs and making a run. But, you know, if you start to look at it, can they get back to like 500, then that would be a nice goal.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'm just taking it one game at a time. Look, you know, just giving it 100% as a fan and taking it one day at a time. And when they win, I'm going to celebrate it. When they lose, I'm just going to go, all right, season's over. No. In all reality, look, I always want my team to win. Major League Baseball draft picks mean nothing to me as far as the fact that, oh, we got the first pick. I mean, there's like 70 rounds in the Major League Baseball draft, it seems like. And they build their team so much. So the whole tanking for a draft pick is not it would be great to get a Paul Skeens-type player. It'd be awesome. We got the first pick. We're going to get like a Paul. But I don't remember – I don't recall, you know, it would be another year from now, right? I mean, before that is even picked. So, yeah, I don't think about it like that. I guess for me is that – I have no expectations anymore moving forward. So when they win, it's great. And I'm like, well, hopefully they can do two in a row. I'm glad what I saw from Elder. It was nice to see him kind of get back on track a little bit. Spencer Strider now is out there. And then you will get Grant Holmes. And then I don't know what you're going to get for a couple starts. So, you know, I'd love to see the bats get going. I'd love to see the bats build momentum no matter what at the end of the year. So that way when you look forward, you look towards next season, you at least can't say, well, they've slumped for two straight years. You can say, well, they picked it up late in the season. So maybe that offense will click this year, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I also, you know, Marcelo Zuna hits a tater last night, and I'm just going to be real here. My first thought was if he can go on a tear, you know, maybe there's a trade out there.
Mm.
Maybe there's a trade partner because obviously he's coming to the end of his contract. The way he's been hitting and the hip injury and everything else, it's like you're not going to get anything for him, but – you know, if all of a sudden he gets hot in the next couple of days and you're like, okay, maybe I could see something happening right there. But other than that, I don't know. It was nice to see. Look, Ronald Acuna, if you have to take a day off for injury every other day and come back and hit a home run every time you come off an injury, then that's what we'll deal with as well. Because that seems to be a theme for him this year, just come back and hit a tater in his first at bat after he's been injured. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it means long term, but it was good for one night at least to stop the 13-game losing streak you had in the state of California?
Right.
So, yeah, that's good.
It was a good, nice, bright spot.
You're going to get somebody else's prospect that's basically aged out of their system for Ozuna. That's a realistic thing of what you would get for him if he doesn't 10-5 it. I'm not sure if I 100% believe Acuna was even injured. I'm not sure if they maybe weren't just resting him up knowing he's about to have a big weekend. I don't really care either way. I don't think it cost you the game Tuesday. I don't think Ronald Acuna Jr. was the difference in the game Tuesday. So I'm glad he was back last night, though, and looked healthy.
Yeah. Well, we do have Strider on the mound tonight, so hopefully they can win this series and then get a couple days off with the All-Star break to rest up and get started on that second half. Now, you can scroll Twitter today all day long, read the noise, or you can hear what Mike and Bo have to say when it comes with some weight. Mike was in the trenches with the Falcons in his offensive lineman days. Bo, he's on the tarmac with these guys, traveling with the team every week. They know the Falcons. So when we weigh out these superlatives, what they say matters. We are sizing up the opponents for the quarterbacks the Falcons will be facing this season. We've kind of gotten some out of the way that you're not as worried about. Colts, Vikings, and the Saints are the ones I heard you guys say, like, we can kind of put those off to the side. Now, yeah. Who are the ones you are considering could be a problem for the Falcons this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with, like, this is going to be, like, kind of an honorable mention for me. I had Tua Tagovailoa just missed my list. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Because, as you guys know, I'm a big Tua fan. It is what it is. But, yeah, he missed my list just simply from the fact that he's had the concussion issues. And when he did come back from the concussion last year, he wasn't the same. I mean, no part of that Miami team was the same last year. Now, if he can return to form from 2 years ago, he definitely is the kind of quarterback that can dice you up. But too many unknowns, too many ups and downs throughout the last few years for Tua Tagovailoa and that Miami team for me to have included him on the top five list. So he kind of just missed it for me.
Brock Purdy just missed it for me.
Okay.
And I was actually, just to be completely transparent, I was debating five and six for me was between Purdy and Tua.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with, for me, their systems.
Yep.
They're the same system, essentially, and it's very similar to the one we run here. And they also have a plethora of weapons. Now, I think the Dolphins, probably healthy, have more weapons because of the absence of Debo. But then you look at Christian McCaffrey with Purdy and Brandon Ayuk and maybe Ricky Pearsall stepping forward with Kittle. Those are pretty that's pretty good right there. But then you look down in Miami, they got A-Chain, Waddle, you know, Tyreek Hill. I don't know what Waller will be. That's kind of an unknown right now. But I think a healthy Tua to me, if I'm taking Brock Purdy and Tua healthy, if all the things are the same, I'm probably taking Tua first. And that's on a slight on Purdy.
Allie, it's terrifying how similarly we think in a lot of these things, because my number five on my list is Brock Purdy. For all the reasons that he just talked about.
I flip-flopped
him.
Dang.
Tua just missed it, and I put Brock Purdy at number five on my list, and I flip-flopped for the exact reasons you're talking about. I think the run game is stronger in San Francisco, and I think when things go haywire, they can rely on the run game and the other different things within that system. I don't think Miami has that ability yet. I think A-Chain, and remember, we did the run back. I thought A-Chain's going to be good. I just don't know if I trust him as much as a whole as Christian McCaffrey if he can stay healthy. So I put Brock Purdy right there at number five.
I'm not sure, and I don't know, this isn't a shot, so don't take it this way, but I think it probably starts for me, if I'm talking about the running game and what they can be offensively up front, I don't think the Dolphins' offensive line is as good as what San Francisco can be.
I agree. So I agree. And that's kind of where I landed on that. So I had agreeing. Yeah, I know. And I don't think we're going to agree on our next four, honestly, in a row. Maybe until we get to one. At number four, I had Baker Mayfield.
Okay, well, I actually did not have Baker Mayfield, but he's on my list.
Okay, I figured as much. And honestly, Baker was kind of – I think I went into this thinking that Baker would be fringe 5-6, kind of where I just mentioned Brock Purdy and Tua. But, man, he's been good the last couple of years. And you start looking at his numbers and the 4,500 passing yards and all the touchdowns you had a year ago – he's just a completely different player, and you're talking about two different systems that he's played in the last couple of years under Canales and Liam Cohen. I know that there's a different offensive coordinator down there this year, but Baker, boy, with those wide receivers they have, he's been a difference maker, so I had him at number four.
Same premise to the system, right? Just different guy, just different
– sure.
Just different little
– you would think, yes.
Just different little things that they want to do within the same system, which is a McVay
passing
system.
Passing-wise, yes.
Yeah.
Passing-wise, yes. The run game was completely different from last year than a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's not just a Liam Cohen thing. I think it is the advancement of the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think it is the finding of
Bucky Irving
along with Rashad White. I think that comes into play as well. And I think Liam Cohen maybe put a little more emphasis on it. So I don't think it's just one thing or the other there. I don't think it's just a play caller. I actually had Matthew Stafford as four.
Wow.
And the reason I had Stafford at four is because at any given moment, Matthew Stafford is still a top eight quarterback in this league, top 10. Let's say top 10, because I don't want to get carried away. To me, though, he is limited with his feet. He only moved out of the pocket going for 30 times for 41 yards last year. Now, 10 of those were first downs, but he's very accurate. He had a ho-hum year, really, 20 touchdowns, 8 picks. But you put Puka in there and some of his – the way they use some of their guys, their tight end whose name slips me. And their run game is still good enough to balance. I think Matthew Stafford at any given moment can pick a defense apart. So for me, he was my fourth.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick, and he's definitely on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go any further because I know we're up against the clock and we're going to get it back to in about 20 minutes, but he's definitely on my list too. And I think you're right. Look, he's just one of those guys. And this quote came out about Travis Kelce, I think, from the Chiefs GM yesterday, where he was being honest about Travis Kelce. He's like, is he the same guy he was 8 years ago? No. But the best ones can find it when they need to and in the stretch run. And I think that's exactly how I think about Matthew Stafford. Like, the best ones can absolutely step up and find it when they need to, and he's one of those guys.
And Baker Mayfield, for the record, is on my list. There's a couple of reasons why he's higher than Matthew Stafford for
okay.
me.
Right.
Well, we're going to pause on that there. We'll reveal the top three for the both of you. We'll do that at 7 o'clock. Coming up next in the front page, Deion Sanders is making his opinion known about college football salaries. That'll be coming up. And we've got my Allie Mack drop. It is Throwback Thursday Trivia Day. Mike is in the lead, 4-3. We will see who can pull ahead with the theme. Hey now, you're an all-star. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan at 6:39. Yes, the NFL and NFL Players Association agreed to keep collusion findings secret. Can you guys break down exactly what's going on with this?
I can try. There's a lot of moving components to this. It sounds like they found through an arbitrator that there was collusion between the NFL owners to keep guaranteed contracts down, like you said, in the wake of the Deshaun Watson contract from years ago now. Like, you know, Lamar Jackson's had contracts. Mm-hmm. A number of other different guys have had contracts since then but have not had guaranteed money the way Deshaun Watson did. And it sounds like the NFL owners were guilty of collusion. The interesting part is that the NFLPA agreed to keep this confidential, and which is just insanity to me when you look at what the NFLPA's job is and what the director of the NFLPA and all the above, that you would keep this confidential to seemingly protect the owners
right.
and the shield, which is just, it's just nuts. So it sounds like this was made public a couple of weeks ago by Pablo Torre, and now they're like, you know what, man, hey, we're going to appeal that. We're going to walk that back, and we're going to try to figure this thing out, which is just – it's insane to me. The whole thing is just insane.
This is the game of gotcha. Pablo Torre plays I gotcha. You guys did this together. You're all in on it. First off, the whole – we can talk all day about the guaranteed contracts in NFL and why the Deshaun Watson thing was a disaster, and no team will ever do it again for quite some time because of that. But then the other thing is basically this is a game of gotcha. Pablo Torre, who is suddenly is an investigative reporter, mainly about Bill Belichick, nails this, and the NFLPA goes, oh, this is a bad look. We better go back on our deal. And they probably told, the head of the union probably called Roger Goodell and said, hey, call me on your burner. And they did. And, or they're sitting at a bench with their faces covered, like in Casino, and they're like, "Hey, we gotta ixnay the hombre deal. We can't do this anymore. What do you mean? It's a bad look for us. We gotta make our players think we're fighting for them. All right, well, and then they're gonna settle out of court or some crap. I mean, this is all for show. In other words, this is a game.
It does blow my mind. I can't remember the name of the director of the NFLPA. Was it Lloyd Howell?
I don't know. They changed because DeMarie Smith is finally gone.
You know, he's putting a book out that supposedly is really
interesting. It should. You know what the title should be?
What?
How I was the most incompetent NFLPA leader of all time.
I mean, shocker that you would go that route. But, I mean, I don't know that this guy is going to be winning any awards here anytime soon after this comes out. He might be at the bottom of the list there.
Allow me to be an advocate for the players for 30 seconds.
Okay.
Every deal he did seemingly either made the game worse or players came out and said, this is a bad deal. Why are we signing it? After already agreeing. Once they finally read it. Like, that last deal, they almost voted to to take it back. Yeah. Because they'd already passed it before reading it. Once they read it, they realized it was a player that was bad for y'all.
I do want to Christopher Droney was the arbitrator in this situation, and I got to read the quote from him because in the ruling he concluded that the NFLPA showed by a clear preponderance of the evidence that Commissioner Roger Goodell and the league general counsel had urged owners to restrict guaranteed money in player contracts. A clear preponderance.
What does
of
that
the
mean?
Evidence. Just sounds to me like it wasn't even close. Right. Like it just like it was preponderance of the evidence, not even close. Yeah, man, they got y'all. This is very clear cut that you guys were in collusion. So
I mean, I bet you the other owners and the Kangaroo Court, the owners, the NFL owner Kangaroo Court, they probably took the old pilot guy to task. You know what's that? Haslam. Jimmy Haslam, he probably got a hefty fine.
He probably felt like an idiot in this meeting. They were like, why would anybody do, oh my God, Jimmy. What? Why would anybody do this?
No, you know, Jerry Jones right now, Jimmy, what were you thinking signing this deal? I've been thinking about it in the shower a lot.
I do think it's funny, the ESPN story that has this, just could not believe this Lloyd Howell thing. Ginsburg's his name. He has a quote that says, as the head of the union, Lloyd has an obligation to protect the best interests of the players. By agreeing to a confidentiality agreement, the union purposely blocked the players from receiving crucial information about the operation at the NFL. So, Yeah, I mean, I think DeMaurice Smith took his lumps. This guy right here might be out of a job, after all this is said and done.
Well, moving on to Big 12 Media Days, Deion Sanders is making his opinion known on college salaries.
I wish it was a cap. You know, like the top of the line player makes this. And if you're not that type of guy, you know you're not going to make that. This is what the NFL does. So the problem is you got a guy that's not that darn good, but he could go to another school and they give him $500,000 and you can't compete with that. That don't make sense. And you're talking about equality, not equality, like equal. I guess it's equality. And all you have to do is look at the playoffs and see what those teams spent. And you understand darn near why they're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to compete with somebody who's giving $25, $30 million to a darn freshman class. It's crazy. We're not complaining because all these coaches up here can coach their butts off and give them the right opportunity with the right players and play here and there, you'll be there. But it's what's going on right now don't make sense. And we want to say stuff, but we're trying to be professional. But you're going to see the same teams darn near at the end and with somebody who sneaks up in there. But the team that pays the most is going to be there in it.
Well, that's been college football for 70 years, Deion. And it's also ironic that you bring this up after your kids graduate and go to the NFL. And by the way, just how in the hell did you get Julian Lewis out there to Boulder, Colorado? I wonder.
I don't think you like the mailman here, but I think you love I think you like the message.
First of all,
I don't know why you decided to go at Deion about it. He's spot on. This might be the most spot on thing I've ever felt that Deion has said.
Because it's very ironic that the two of the highest paid athletes in college football history in the short time that we've been acknowledging that we've been paying them are Shador and Shiloh, and then top it with Travis Hunter. So it's funny that he comes out with this take after. Is he right? Hell yeah, he's right.
And that's the thing is, like, he's so right for me that I don't even want to try to take away from where the message is coming from by even bringing that up. But, because, I have my ups and downs with Deion. I hated the whole Louis thing when he got to Colorado. He's a little bit over the top for me in terms of some of the stuff he says. But he has never been more spot on about anything he has said as a head coach other than this. Well, I mean, this is it.
It's the first time I truly feel like he's being honest about this part of it. But I want to say, how did you get Julian Lewis? Why did he flip from USC?
But I think he's not talking about that. Like, he's talking about the value for certain players. I heard of a backup lineman in the SEC getting offered seven figures to transfer within the SEC. That's what he's talking about. That is insane.
But it's the same. The same thing goes to guys coming out of high school, and like the kid at Georgia Tech who got, $3 million to just sign with Georgia Tech?
Yeah, but I don't think that has anything to do with Julian Lewis. Five-star quarterbacks are going to get money. It's just like the NFL draft.
The point is you don't think they're not getting more than the average player? That's the whole point of the message. If you're talking about
the point of his message is that these guys are getting above value.
Yes,
Julian Lewis got
thing.
Value.
I think he got above value for a kid that's never played a snap. Just like your example of a backup offensive lineman going somewhere and getting above value to transfer to another team. It's the same thing. It all reminds me of the rookie contract back in the day that we talk about with Sam Bradford when these guys would come out and get paid way more than guys that have been doing it for 10 years.
I agree.
Well, and next week, Major League Baseball will utilize the automated ball strike challenge system during the All-Star game. So if you see a batter step out, tap their helmet, or a pitcher tap his hat, they are challenging the call. I'm excited to see this.
I doubt that the umpires like this.
Well, of course they don't.
On the All-Star game, I don't need this smoke. Yeah, move on.
Well, speaking of All-Star week, it's time to compete, fellas. It is Throwback Thursday Trivia Day. The theme today is, hey now. They'll finish it for me. Obviously, in honor of the All-Star Game, this is the theme of today.
That's right, Allie. But you know what? Starting Saturday, we'll have all of the festivities covered as we broadcast live from Merce in the Cobb Galleria Center. That's wall-to-wall All-Star News preview special guests, all brought to you by Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. And if you're headed to the Fan Village, stop by and see us at Murph's all day Saturday through Tuesday, July 15th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know myself, Dylon and Allie will all be there at 10 a.m. at Murph's. 10 to 2, I believe, we'll be on. I think Chris Thomas follows us after that. So come join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it that I made today's Throwback Thursday trivia theme after it. the standings right now are Mike is ahead. It's 4-3. So it's really anyone's game at this point for this season. Yes, your name is your buzzer. Here we go. Dylan, please help me hear who says their name first, because this is going to be a very quick one.
I've got you covered.
Okay. Bo. What ogre helped make...
Mike. Bo.
Was that Mike?
Bo.
Bo. Okay,
what?
Bo.
Yeah, I think I heard Bo.
What? He doesn't even believe you.
We need an automated strike.
Ridiculous.
Right.
He doesn't even believe you. He's right. Laughing at you right now.
Sure. I mean, if Allie wants to overrule us, she can.
Oh, man.
I just can't. Like, what were you listening to? That was clear.
My ears heard Bo first.
We've got ridiculous. A lot of questions, so it might balance out.
Wow.
All right. What streaming service is known for sports documentaries that turn athletes into stars and also making things awkward in Flowery Branch?
Shrek.
Mike.
Bo.
I mean, I got to get that one, right?
Yeah, Mike, you're
Netflix.
There you go.
This man just said Shrek.
Damn, I knew the answer, too.
Oh,
all right, it's 1-1. What is the nickname for the MLB's All-Star Game?
Mike.
Yes.
The Midsummer Classic.
That is it. Okay, what SNL character is a superstar?
Bo. It's Sister Catherine. Mary Catherine. Mary Catherine Elizabeth or something like that.
Mm.
It's Molly Shannon.
I'll give it to you. It's Mary Catherine Gallagher, yeah. Superstar.
I don't
know if he deserves to get that.
Should have a long Catholic name like that.
All right, it is tied 2-2. What former Braves player and 14-time All-Star held the MLB home run record for decades?
Bo.
Hank
Aaron.
That is it.
Where are we on that tough guy?
I was stuck. I was stuck in the middle of that one. I was like, what? Okay.
All right, Bo.
It had me for a second when she left at 14-time. I was like, wait, huh?
Bo has pulled ahead 3-2. What movie franchise features battles in space and stars in its title?
Mike.
Bo.
Dylan, don't you dare say that Bo got that one.
Bo got it.
Is this broke? What are you listening to?
I heard Bo first, dog.
That you have lost your mind.
I heard the
Star Wars.
I had not finished the question.
Oh. Plot twist.
Well, and that is incorrect. Mike, do you want to take a stab at it? Or do you want me to finish the question?
Star Trek.
That is it?
Yeah!
The end of that was in Star Wars, isn't it?
Mike, I will officially take my apology now. I saved you. I actually saved you.
I was definitely going to get it wrong. No doubt about it.
You're welcome.
I just, like, I'm just worried about, the future of this segment. If you, like, that's twice.
All right. What pop stars fans are known as Little Monsters?
I didn't hear the first part of the question.
What pop stars fans are known as Little Monsters? Mike.
Katy Perry?
No.
I have no clue.
I'm trying to think of a pop star.
I have a second guess, but
no, you've already ruined
it. I know.
You've already answered incorrectly.
Yeah, I think we scratched this one.
Yeah, because I don't know many pop.
That would be Lady Gaga.
That was my second guess.
Yep. Okay, what team has the most home run derby winners?
Mike?
It's an obvious one. Yeah, Mike.
It's obvious?
I think it's obvious, but I know the answer.
The Braves?
No.
Okay. When you thought it was obvious, I was like, oh, God.
The Mets?
No.
I was going to guess the Mariners at first.
Maybe I threw you guys off. It's the Yankees.
Okay. I was going to guess the Mariners because he had a run with Griffey and all that, but yeah.
Well, Alonso won like three straight, so that's why I was
And I was thinking Robinson Cano was a Mariner, yeah.
It is tied, so we got to get through a few more.
Okay.
In which Mario video game will a glowing star give you a boost and make you temporarily? Yes?
Mario Kart.
That is it. 4-3.
I mean, all of the games have a star. I mean.
What Braves legend, an 8-time All-Star, famously wore number 10?
Mike.
Bo.
Chipper Jones.
That is Chipper.
He actually got that one, though.
All right, we're tied right now, 4-4. What superhero team includes Star-Lord, Rocket, and Groot?
Bo.
The
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is it. 5-4. We are running out of time. Who defeated Bobby Witt Jr. last year in the Home Run Derby during All-Star Week?
Mike. Pete Alonso.
No.
Don't know. It was worth a shot.
I don't know. I can't remember. I knew it was somebody. I don't know. Juan Soto?
No.
I don't remember.
That was Teoscar Hernandez. What is the name of the famous Hollywood sidewalk filled with celebrity name?
Yeah, he got it.
The Walk of Fame or whatever.
That is the Walk of Fame. Yeah. We are out of time.
Nice work.
So it is 6-4. Bo, you won this one. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mike, it sounds like my judgments didn't too much matter for you.
No, I didn't. He definitely got those last two. I have no clue what you were listening to the first time. The first one, I'm like, that was like, I feel like your headphones are broke. No way. Well, but yeah, he won that one fair and square.
And then I bailed you out on the other one, too.
I mean, so. You didn't know you were bailing me out.
I honestly gained you a point. More
you
than you would have had.
Are tied for the season with Throwback Thursday trivia. Coming up, we're going to get back into the toughest quarterback that the Falcons will face this season. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.